4 doesn't exist. The Barbie movie is out.
Oh, man.
Transsexuals have taken over. And the patriarchy is dead. I made that Instagram story this morning where I said everyone, including white folks, surprisingly, is chiming in on this. So we have to do our part.
Come on, we have to add to the dialogue as cultural touchstones.
We have to add the number one podcast in Texas. Well, and also, frankly, we need to add some diversity to the conversation here, because there are no straight white men, sorry, cis white men, chiming into the Barbie review cultural commentary conversation, so you're welcome, everybody. Finally adding some nuance to this whole debate here.
I know, we are going to get really deep into the psychology of it and be completely unbiased in our takes.
If there is anything you come to the Texas podcast for, it is especially the reaction shows, it is unbiased reporting. Unlike Texas Monthly, we bring you completely and totally unbiased reporting.
I got to say, when I bought my ticket for Oppenheimer and it started off with a musical number, I was shocked.
I haven't gotten to see Oppenheimer yet. That's another reason that I kind of forced you to only review Barbie today. I did hear that Florence Pugh, is that her name?
Florence Pugh, yeah.
Has a sex scene in Oppenheimer that some people are like, it's the unnecessary sex scene. But I thought, well, it is Florence Pugh, and she is the type of person who is like, I'm naked, but don't look at me. And if you do look at me, you're gross. I mean, she did show up to a red carpet event last year. Pretty much naked in a see-through dress, and then got mad at the photographers for taking pictures of it. So I'm pretty sure she like flashed Christopher Nolan her tits and was like, so you're going to put that in the movie, right? And he was like, will you stop flashing your tits if we write a sex scene?
I can't imagine just like she walks onto set naked one day and is like, yeah, so we're doing this. And Nolan's like, doing what?
What are you doing?
What's going on? I can imagine. Okay, this is something that's new in Hollywood that I've experienced once or twice. They're called intimacy coordinators. It's a new job that exists.
Okay.
So in sex scenes, there's now an extra person on set who protects the actors. And
what is their union like?
I don't know. It doesn't have an HR, I'll tell you that much.
It's all HR. I was going to say, or it's completely HR.
And so whenever you're doing like kissing scenes and things like that, you'll be interrupted occasionally by this extra person going, hey, are you comfortable with this? Hey, how do you feel about this? Or like, you know, I've been on set when one was interacting during a sex scene, and the guy pulled her over and said something to her without the actress hearing what he was saying. And then she talked to the actress for him, and they like changed positions. It was the weirdest thing in the world.
All right. Hey, every set needs a Karen. So this is a great segue into the Barbie movie, because there's not enough jobs for white women in the world. So I'm glad that there's one in the movie industry where they can point out how the sex and intimacy is wrong.
It's wrong every time, no matter what. So, okay, real quick, before we dive in, give me your general impression and an overall rating before we start dissecting.
For sure. General impression.
Yeah.
Entertaining movie. At the end of the day, it was a summer blockbuster that was entertaining. The set design was great. The acting was great. The score was great. For all of the many minor faults in the storyline and in the message of the movie, it's still an entertaining movie that gets the laughs where it's supposed to. So my rating is, 7 out of 10. If you want to, in a year, if you're having a slumber party, if you need something entertaining on that you can talk through, turn on the Barbie movie. It's perfect for that. Yeah, what's your impression?
Dude, that's a great breakdown. I pretty much agree across the board. I think yesterday I told you my overall score was like an 8 out of 10.
I was surprised by, actually.
Right. So here's kind of where I am. I'm doing two things. One, I'm trying not to be as critical as I usually am about everything. And
I'm sure that's hard.
It's very difficult.
It's an exercise in self-development.
I'm also just trying to grade it on the movie itself and not my feelings about the world and its messages. So overall, within the tone of the movie, within everything that was going on, I thought it did really well. Like you said, it was super entertaining. I laughed a lot unexpectedly.
Yeah.
There were some jokes that caught me off guard, and there was some meta stuff going on that I really appreciated. And I'll say this, the reason it gets an 8 and not a 7 for me is because, and I think it was the writer, put in some sub-messages that were really interestingly healthy. And we'll get to those in a little bit. So because of the main message and because of how it was portrayed, I can't give it a 9 because I hated that they did way too much exposition. Like, I think I texted you, like, there were 5 or 6 just stand and deliver. This is the message of the movie.
Here it is. One key point there, 5 or 6, because at some point. Because
I can do 1 or 2.
Sure.
And what made me mad is. Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
What made me mad is they did a good job of portraying the message without saying it verbatim.
Without passionate monologues, but then there were 5 or 6 passionate monologues on the 5 or 6 kind of messages within. Because I watched Brett Cooper and Ben Shapiro debate their views on the movie. And really the only view that I agree with on Ben Shapiro's side, because he does that thing that a lot of conservative commentators do where they act holier than thou or so over how dumb people are. And then it just makes their points fall flat to me because they sound like a dick. But...
You're being condescending, and we feel it.
You're being condescending, just like the people on the left that you don't like. So now I don't like you either. But the point that I liked that he made that I agreed with is, and now I'm forgetting where my train of thought was going. 1 second here. That, you know, 5 minutes in the movie, she has this moment, do you ever think about death? So now the message can be contemplating your humanity, life is short, I can't escape death, how do I maximize my life in this world that is broken? That's one message. And it could have gone with that fully and been a great movie and entertaining, but it was pretty much downhill from there. What were the things? Okay, so that was your impression. What were the things you liked? Because I know the things we didn't like is going to stick out a little bit more and probably be more passionate about anyway. So what were the things you did like about the Barbie movie?
So starting kind of on a surface level, like you said, the set design, the music, the choreography, the fun they had with the world. I loved how they brought
the
in fantastical
Dreamland
elements
world.
With the Dreamland world. And if you noticed with like Mattel was this weird, like gray, whenever they did the split screen and you could see the accounting office and the Mattel office, the accounting office was the FBI office was like fun. And the Mattel office was this bleak, you know, Brazil,
which is crazy.
Like,
cause Mattel was backing the movie. Like that wasn't
And so
I mean,
I can see
strategically how they backed a movie where they bashed their founder is good publicity for them. It's also lazy virtue signaling, which is pretty much this whole movie anyway. But you liked that part.
But I liked that. I liked how much fun they had with the set design, the costumes. I loved the acting. I thought the actors got the movie and understood the assignment.
Understood Ryan Gosling, the satire. Understood the fun.
Dude. Ryan Gosling knocked it out of the fucking park. Like,
I love how they didn't hide that his abs were airbrushed either.
They leaned in.
Him being Ken made it able to be a little more lazy with the airbrushed abs, with the makeup on his face, with the bleached hair. It was everything was a little crappy, but almost on purpose.
But on purpose,
I think, or somebody was striking early and they couldn't find a better makeup artist. But I think it was on purpose.
I think it was on purpose. Again, costume, set design, choreography, songs. Loved all of that. I liked that they did start off with, do you ever think about death? And that was kind of what gets us going into the story. And even though they lost the thread, there was enough about
that. Dude, they didn't
that.
Lose the thread. They bottomed out. They cut the thread. They just completely dished the thread.
There was an overarching message that did come through, I thought, and this is why I'm giving the movie such a high grade, is because aside from all of the Greta Gerwig man-hating stuff, which is there,
because
it's Greta Gerwig, she cannot stand men at all, and it comes through in everything she does.
Based
and
on
that's
her
okay.
experience, sure, that's her personal
totally
experience,
fine.
That's fine.
I know that walking into the movie, so I'm not mad about it. It just is.
And you know what to expect now that
you've
seen Lady
Bird.
Her use
of Alan was fantastic. Like,
that
the
was
random...
Michael,
that was brilliant. Michael Cera was brilliant.
That casting is perfect. Michael Cera as Alan
as
is absolutely perfect. That's great.
So, the overall message that got through, and it's at the very end, so it did, I think, land. You have the thing with Ken and Barbie, where they're like... Mm-hmm. We have to be ourselves and individuals. Mm-hmm. We cannot define ourselves based on the relationship. Ken's realization of that was really powerful and very important, I thought. And then you go with it landed. I thought it landed. It was a little subtle, but it did land because he ultimately gets to the point where and maybe just because I've been through this, like, you mm-hmm. over-grandize this relationship, and you only feel like you're important when they're looking at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has to realize that that's not what life is about, just as Barbie has to realize that this projection is not what mm-hmm. life is about. And then you bring in the original founder, who takes Barbie and is like, your life is your choice.
Yeah.
There are multiple moments throughout the movie where Barbie gives up, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's going to get in the box. She's right, literally, she's laying down and giving
specifically
up.
Specifically when she lays down and gives up, and they're like, you have to take agency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to take responsibility for all of this. So aside from kind of the messy politics of it all, there were a couple mm-hmm. really good messages that I thought got through that I really enjoyed. Even down to whenever the men are fighting, when the kids are fighting.
Mm-hmm. That was a great scene.
And it goes from fighting to like friends. Yeah, please.
Yeah. That was great. Well, just a quick commentary on how some of the messaging almost cannibalized itself.
Yes.
The funniest, most engaging, fun parts of the movie are with the Kens.
100%.
With and the men they hired in the movie, it's almost hilariously backward that mm-hmm. the best moments are the Kens fighting each other and
based
coming to
the realization. Based on the story they're trying to tell. Yeah.
Yeah, and all of the reviews on the acting are Ryan Gosling, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Gosling. Margot Robbie does a phenomenal job, the character of Barbie herself is mm-hmm. so boring and bland and easy. It's plastic, which is kind of the point, but it, mm-hmm. again, it almost cannibalizes the message itself where, you know, here we are and everyone's talking about how great, how fun the Kens were, all the merch mm-hmm. of Kingdom and Knuff, and everyone's talking about the Ken fight because that was the best scene.
It was the best scene.
No one's talking about Barbie. No one's talking about how Margot Robbie, who, by the way, is hottest as Tanya, just in I, Tanya, that's her hottest portrayal.
Agreed.
It's interesting to see mm-hmm. it play out in the real world that even when you're trying to hate men with your message, people are still talking about how fun these scenes with only the men were.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting. I appreciate your perspective on the Ken Barbie relationship dynamic mm-hmm. because it does open my mind up on that part of the story a little bit more because you are right in that you've actually experienced that. I have too, but like you've experienced that in a very real way. Mm-hmm. Whereas me, more absent of that experience, I watch that scene and I think, cool, Ken's realization is he's Ken.
Sure.
It
can come across as a little flaccid, I get that, but it's also mm-hmm. like, it's not his movie, so it's not really about him. He just happens mm-hmm. to be a side character with a really good arc, because as the movie ends, his story would be beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
And it takes him simping through the whole movie and realizing, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
he has such an interesting story arc because he goes from mm-hmm. simping to angry and lashing out and trying to take control.
Yeah, but even his anger is kind of manufactured because he doesn't know how to be angry.
It's real anger, but it's like he said it himself, right? As soon as I found out the patriarchy wasn't about horses, I kind of less interest.
The horse thing,
which
was
is a great line. That's a
the
great
horse
line.
The horse obsession was amazing. That might have been one of the funnier parts of the whole movie.
It was
too.
So creative.
One of my friends that was watching it, we kept laughing just at seeing the horses everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Just that was such a fun part. So, okay, that's everything we liked, you know.
Yeah, that's everything we liked.
All things we liked. Now we got to talk about things we didn't like. What did you not like about the Barbie movie?
I did not like
and the cultural
little
reaction to it in this whole conversation.
I'll stay a little bit out of that just because I'm like, not that I'm over it, just I know exactly what people are saying, and mm-hmm. it's not that I disagree, I'm just like, I don't know if I can add anything to that.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing new to add to that piece.
You underutilized Margot Robbie. I get 100%. Casting her, and her ability grounded mm-hmm. that performance in a way that I don't know many other people could. But there is that really critical moment where the movie kind of pauses and the voiceover goes, if you're trying to make this point, Margot Robbie's the wrong actress to cast.
Yeah.
So there's an awareness even within the movie that mm-hmm. there's things going on.
And was
on
that awareness after the fact? Was that a retrospective?
I don't know.
Did Greta Gerwig, that's her name, right?
Yeah, the director.
Yeah. I always want to say Thornburg. They're both retarded, but
hey,
autistic. You're right. So she was
intellectually unique.
intellectually different, special.
There you go.
And was she watching the edits back and realized, oh, shoot, I made a mistake here?
Maybe.
And so they had to interject and say what we're all thinking as far as, yeah, if you're trying to drive this point home, Margot Robbie is not the person to cast for this.
Yeah. So the things I didn't like about the movie were a little bit of that, because I do feel like she was underutilized and didn't get to show kind of her teeth until the very end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did the best she possibly could with what she was given, for
and
sure.
And she did anchor the movie really, really well. It just, again, me and a friend call it main character syndrome. A lot of main characters are very bland because we have to project ourselves onto them.
Yeah.
And something else this movie suffered from is massive internal confusion. Both from storyline, from plot, and from character direction.
And from director in general.
I mean, director in general, and that does come down on the shoulders of the director to decide what they're going to do with the movie. And ultimately, you end up with this situation where it's about Barbie, but you're trying to tell all these different stories, and you're crossing storylines and even character motivations. Like, okay, Will Ferrell's character. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where they're running through the...
What a waste of Will Ferrell, by the way.
But he had fun, genius,
genius to do all the trailers without him in it. Oh, yeah. I love it when movies, like big budget movies, have a secret celebrity within the story, so it surprises you when you're watching it. But that storyline is useless. That use of him as the actor is useless. And it was just such a weird. I thought the guy from the cubicle floor that notices that Barbie's out and about, I thought he was going to play a way more major role.
I did too. And then you just
He's just sort of there with the useless white men thing going on, which is fine. So but the way they present him, I thought he was going to find Barbie and be like the catalyst to her realizing her needs to live in the... And maybe he was supposed to, but then they realized, wait, he's a white male character, so we can't let any change come through him. Anything. He's got to be castrated like Ted Lasso, like the rest of them, too. So that whole thing sort of fell apart.
I want to point to a very specific two moments where Will Ferrell, as they're chasing everything, he talks about one of the characters brings up like money, and he goes, he goes, "How dare you? How dare you think that this is about money for me?" And he means it in the moment. We have to assume that he actually is very serious about it. And then later, as she talks about doing the designs with just a plain Barbie who makes it through the day, he's like, "That's a terrible idea." And somebody goes, "That's going to make a lot of money." And he's like, "I love that."
Even within
character, you've got this weird confusion of themes, and you've got unclear motivations across the board.
Well, and that part was at the end, which was 30 minutes too long. They
agreed. They somehow made Barbie way too long.
It just fumbles.
And this
and
is
fumbles
another thing I didn't like about it is as soon as Barbie meets the family. You have a power struggle for main character, because suddenly we don't know who the movie's about anymore and what the purpose is.
Or who it's for, really.
Because now you've got three competing main characters. You've got Ryan Gosling, who unfortunately, due to his talent and the writing of the movie, is a way more interesting character. And then you've got America Ferrera's character, whose name escapes me, but...
Did she have a name in the movie, or was she just the mom?
She's the mom.
The mom.
She definitely
and
had
again,
a name,
America Ferrera, amazing actress, and she does an incredible job what she's given in the movie.
And even her story is very interesting. She's designing. She's got these designs, and she works for Barbie, and she's having a struggle relating to her child. And there's a really good story to be told about mother-daughter relationships there, and how Barbie plays a role in that. But they don't really tell that story. They kind
at
of
all,
shoehorn
which would have been
a
an
bit.
Amazing story to tell.
And then they make America Ferrera the pivot point for the grander point they're making. They give her the giant monologue on how hard it is to be a woman, which
was so forced and so
it was
predictable
very forced.
And so shoehorned in. It was just like
even if the overall point I get and within the context of the movie and even the greater world, like it makes sense. I get it. Like of course,
sure, it's valid, but it was interesting to walk out of that theater with my lovely wife, and we did have a great conversation, and we've always communicated about. As a woman, as my wife, how do I support you? How do I encourage you? How do I, as a husband and as a man,
yeah,
support you and propel you forward and make sure that you feel empowered to like be a woman,
yeah,
and live your best life and maximize your career and your potential, all those things. But we also touched on, we've talked often about this pressure that women feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
This thing that is, we can't be, we're supposed to be fit, but not too fit. We're supposed to be curvy, but not fat. We're supposed to be freaky in bed, but not into anal. Like this whole thing where, right. That was a good joke, right?
That was good, yeah.
This whole, this or that, all this pressure, and it hit me when we were talking, I just said, Jenny, but who puts that pressure on y'all? Is it men? Because according to the Barbie movie, all we expect is for you to bring us beer and cute maid outfits, and that's really it. So,
right. And that's part of my problem,
where is the pressure
is there's not
coming
clear messaging.
From? Yeah, it's very convoluted. And as a guy watching it, is a little like, okay, I know that pressure women feel is real and it's valid. But to say it comes from men does not feel valid.
At least not at this
point. I don't think.
And maybe it was at a certain point, but now I'm not so sure that's true. And again, I'm a man, so I have blind spots. But I'm trying to judge this only on the context that the movie gave me. And within the movie, it accidentally says that the women are their own worst enemy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do they flip people? Like, okay, a couple things. Whenever the Ken comes back and changes the world, it takes what? A day?
5 seconds? So yeah, literally half a day.
If Barbie was this female utopia where everything was perfect, how did they flip it so quickly?
Yeah.
Right? So, okay,
like,
within
how did
the
that
movie
happen?
Logic,
on a
it's like, okay,
level.
Weird. And then there's a moment where, and this is an interesting theme as well that I saw pop up, and I'm not sure where I want to take this, but one of the Barbies who's been brainwashed is like, I realize that I don't want to have all this responsibility and pressure.
Yeah.
And it's nice to just know what to do. And, you know, that's this thing that comes up. Even Ryan Gosling is like, leadership is hard. And so that theme kind of pops up a few times, but the quickness with which the Kens were able to brainwash the Barbies was really interesting internal logic within the movie, especially if they're this like perfect female utopia. And then how do they ultimately win it back, right? They don't use logic. They use subterfuge, they use manipulation, and they emotionally fuck with the Kens, right?
Which sounds a lot like a guy.
Well, which sounds a lot like the underhanded, like, toxic tactics that women societally are complaining about. And again, within the movie, that they're complaining about.
Yeah.
So they're kind
well,
of
that,
cause
that
playing
part,
their own game.
All I could think of during that part of the movie was John Mulaney's joke about when cross-dressing women act like aggressive men.
You could have stayed a guy
those
if
tactics,
you're an asshole.
And it was such a weird juxtaposition of America Ferrera has this incredible monologue.
Yeah.
Personally, I had some qualms with it, but I get it.
Sure, but
it
I get it. Again,
the point
I'm
trying to
make.
Movie. And then they flip to using toxically male tactics to flip everything back in their favor.
And
then that's where
in
I had
their
a
favor.
Yeah.
I want to point out, they didn't do this thing where they were like, we need a more equitable society. We want
that's exactly originally, what I was about to say.
Yeah, because originally the Kens didn't do anything. They just kind of existed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got a weird mirror of maybe, you know, what is being complained about in the course of the movie. And then when they get the chance to make things equitable, they don't. They bring it
they
back
just
to
flip
exactly
it back
how it was.
To in a, what you could say is an authoritarian society where
One
group runs everything, does everything, and another group is
pretty much
told, stay in your place.
Literally told, stay in your place, because just using movie logic, this has nothing to do with like my opinions on X, Y, and Z. This is just the movie logic. Whenever the Kens are like, can we have a seat on the Supreme Court or whatever?
Yeah.
They're like, no.
Like,
they said
you can be a circuit judge.
Yeah, maybe a circuit judge. And you're
you can have a lower level position.
Exactly. You're literally
to keep you quiet.
You're literally placating them and saying, you know, good boy.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Cute. And that's okay, but within the logic of the movie, you're betraying your greater point, i.e.
Well, and within the logic of that whole ethos of love and equality, it falls apart. And it did suck to see, because I really thought, as it
I
was coming
were,
to that
yeah.
point in the movie, I thought it was going to be, let's make Barbie Land like a truly equitable society, which is what people on that side, so to speak, say they want. Right. And then they show you their cards by showing you, well, actually, you know, my idea of a dreamland would be that women run everything and men are little boys that don't get in the way. And that's fine that if that's fine. What you want, but don't try to hide it under the guise of love and respect and honor, because that's not what that is.
No, that's not what we're getting.
And that's not a bash on that type of feminism. That's just rational. Mm-hmm. That's rationally that's thinking rational through thought. What that message
and
is.
Even going back to one of the beginning things that was said, that again, I thought was actually a good point, is there was a woman, you know, testifying in Congress in the beginning of the Barbie thing where she said, I think, yes, I am, this topic makes me feel emotional, but I'm also being logical, and one does not cancel out the other. I can be emotional and logical at the same time, and I'm more powerful.
I think that was Idris Elba's character saying that.
Yeah.
I think it was, wasn't it?
Well, Idris Elba is a British black man who wasn't in the Barbie movie.
Wait, who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Issa Rae.
Issa Rae.
I mean, they have one thing in common, Gunnar.
Well, look, I'm sorry that I made a
mistake
here.
Obviously. It was actually, I can't say it any other way, so forgive me. It was the fat Barbie. She was the one who was...
Oh, yeah. Which was fun.
Yeah, and look, she had a really good point. Like, you need both emotion and logic. And had you followed through with that original supposition and carried that throughout the whole movie and meditated on the thought of death and impermanence... and change and how change was necessary and important and unavoidable in embracing change and showing that change by at the end of the movie, creating an equitable society. Wow. What a cool movie.
Well, and that's how you show us the human experience is the difficulty and the gut-wrenching feeling it is to try to feel emotion and think logically at the same time.
Because
that's the human experience that is the real human experience, but they just show us basically like women are oppressed from the beginning and men suck, and that's what the human experience is. I'm sorry for the people who have had that experience, because I will not deny that that has been many people's experience of humanity, but that's not the human experience in general.
Well, and I'm also, you know, I'll let my personal thing come in a little bit. The very beginning of the movie, whenever the little girls are bashing the baby dolls.
Yeah,
it's a really, in my personal opinion, and this is not even within the context of the movie, although it does touch on this in a weird way, it is a toxic representation of motherhood, because it's saying at the beginning of the movie that it's stupid and that the expectations of that are dumb and that you shouldn't want that. And they do go back on it a little bit, but when you set the tone that way, it's a little weird. For me personally.
Yeah.
And that's where I'll let my own...
Well, and that's back to... There are directors who cannot help but inject their personal beliefs. And
Greta Gerwig
to
clearly hates men. And I'm surprised... I'm surprised the movie came out and has as little of that as it does.
And she did a good job of that, but it would not shock me. I don't have any of this confirmed, but it would not shock me if she's one of those many women today who view motherhood as a burden...
Sure,
no matter which way you slice it. Yeah. And again, you can have that preference, have that belief. But me personally, I just don't think that's true or a healthy way to view literally the ability to bear, rear, and give and nurture life. That is a blessing, not a burden. But culturally where we're at right now, it does seem more chic and more popular to view it that way. Yeah. Especially considering the whole monologue America Ferrera Gives, where basically you're darned if you do, darned if, you don't, and there's no right thing to do. That has a point. It has validity.
But if you're going to make that point, then you can't then turn around and say that the husband is useless.
No, you can't. That,
yeah, or at least you shouldn't. And that's my critique of the internal movie logic, is you're like, well, motherhood is so hard and all these things, and then you constantly say, well, obviously the father doesn't matter. And you say that three different times. You show him whenever she's driving, and she's like, where did you learn how to drive like that? Oh, a guy I knew. Dad? And she's like,
sure.
So, okay, cool. Dad's useless. Two, whenever they're like, should dad come? And it flashes to him learning Spanish. And she's like,
and
no,
he's really bad at it, and he's a dorky-looking white guy.
And there's no reason he should be bad at it. And then at the very end, whenever he can't speak Spanish right, and you're like, it is a little funny, but I don't know that the joke is worth the point you're making. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
yeah,
so that's
sure.
that's
for
some
sure.
stuff. I think we, I know.
Yeah,
I
will say, yeah, a couple of last things and some clips to
yeah,
watch,
please.
I will say what does make it more palatable to see those themes of the movie and the messaging in general, because there's no denying that a lot of the messaging and what you're seeing is like dads are useless, men are useless, men are evil, yada yada. As tempting as it could be as a guy to watch that and go all these directions of like, like
I'm not.
Look, man, like, there's one. It's a movie. It's fiction.
Yeah.
Have enough maturity and emotional intelligence to just watch a movie and consume it.
It's like, are you really that insecure that the Barbie movie can threaten you?
And then also, look, I've watched a lot of Matthew McConaughey 90s rom-coms. Women are depicted as pretty much bimbos in most of those.
A lot of those, yeah.
So look, we can tolerate one movie where men are depicted
and I'm
in general as one way. Like, look, freaking chill. If you're a dude who watched it and it's just now on this men are being attacked thing...
You're the problem.
Chill. It's fine.
It's okay.
It's fine. Also, like, there's millions on millions of hours of horrendous pornography on the internet showing women being demeaned, abused, and even trafficked.
Yeah.
So shut the fuck up if you're a guy who feels offended by the Barbie movie, because there's plenty of footage, both legal and not legal, where women are being taken advantage of.
Just like
Soapbox One,
you know, enjoy your status as a man and laugh at a movie that is actually funny.
Yeah, yeah, and then just have honest conversations with the women in your life,
and that's
and
all
be
you can
open,
do.
Be open to what they like and don't like about it too. Mm-hmm. Also, don't assume that every woman liked the Barbie movie. There were some that did and some that don't. Lo and behold, people have opinions about art.
Well, there's a good point being made about how none of the Kens showed healthy leadership.
Right? Yeah, none of them.
And if that's the way that men behave, then that's kind of the lot that you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then you can either feed into it by reacting to it,
mm-hmm.
or read a book about Winston Churchill and change your life. Number two.
Which is why I drink at the bathtub.
And smoke cigars when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the thing that I've noticed, not necessarily within my community, meaning literally like the people I spend time with here in Fort Worth, but just the Christian community.
Sure.
At large, there's sort of this attitude toward the Barbie movie of, I'm not going to go watch that filth.
Mm-hmm.
And just straight up, you don't get to have an opinion about something you do not experience or you do not go watch. That is the exact same as if you bash a church that you've never set foot in.
True.
Just straight up. You can have opinions,
mm-hmm.
but you do not get to have opinions about movies you haven't watched. That's just period, end of story.
Yeah.
I heard three different people... Or saw three different people tweet about, I'm not going to watch the Barbie movie because it has like too much LGBTQI plus representation.
Like, there was you don't know that.
None. You don't know. Well, but here I saw
there was
and thought,
zero
oh,
explicit.
There was zero explicit. So clearly you didn't watch the movie. And then the other thing about it was like I have seen some guys that are like, I'm not going to watch it because this weird. It'll affect my man card, or I'll get my man card taken away. You sound insecure saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you sound like an insecure little boy by saying you're not going to go watch it versus just having the maturity to go watch a movie that, lo and behold, will not move your man meter either direction because it's just a movie.
You might have a little
fun.
At
the end of the day. You really might have some fun, or you're going to feel uncomfortable, and maybe you should feel uncomfortable more often. All right, those are our general thoughts on
unfortunately,
the Barbie
you and I
movie.
Are both very opinionated people.
I mean, I know that not many straight white men have opinions, so we're here for them.
I feel like I'm giving voice to the unvoiced.
I feel like we're speaking for the minority. Have you read about or heard anything about the Jason Aldean song, Try That in a Small Town?
No.
Okay. I've only heard rumblings of, there's a lot of controversial thoughts around this music video for his song, Try That in a Small Town.
Okay.
Because it depicts like races a certain way and stuff like that. I'm sure it's probably true. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
What I have read about though, is like, there's all these controversial thoughts about the video itself and the song itself. but that has shot the song to, I think, number two on the Billboard 100. So it's that weird thing that happens where the more hate you heap on a work of art, especially a movie or a song, it makes it more popular.
I mean, we've experienced that.
We definitely experienced that. Also, I want to listen to it because it's called Try That in a Small Town, and we are from a small town. Andrews, Texas. So I want to see if we can relate to this song in any way. So let's, I'm going to switch to live mode on this video, and we're going to watch it.
Let's do it.
Fire, that's fun. So far, it looks like a country. There's a lot of fire for this one.
Sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk. Carjacking old lady at a red light.
Okay, we're two lyrics in. I'm not going to pause too much.
Okay.
But I have to say, this already sounds like SNL making fun of a country song, but it's a legitimate country song.
I'm waiting for Andy Samberg to pop out.
I really am. This is Lonely Island Presents a Country.
Gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think
is that
cool?
The White House? What? Is that a courthouse?
Cuss out a cop, spit in his face. Stomp on the flag and light it up.
Okay.
Yeah, you think it's tough.
Has he aged a day at all?
Try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here. Recommend you don't try that in a small town.
Okay, so we're first in a chorus. There's not enough different thoughts to even think about.
Yeah, true. I mean, look, he's got
a lot of like robberies happen in small towns. Just pointing that out.
A ton of robberies.
A ton of like gas station
from like the principal's son or the preacher's kid.
You know.
Also, I'll try anything in our small town because now Shane Dalzner is a police officer there.
Right,
so you could probably get away with... There's that moment in the movie Vengeance when he's trying to say we should call the cops and the guys are like, Mike and Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Try whatever you want in a small town. It's not the cops that are going to beat you up. It is the locals. But that kind of, he's pretty much saying...
And I'm going to point two things out. One, if you stomp on a flag and light it on fire, that's legal in protest. So in a small town, that would also be okay. Two, if you spit in a cop's face anywhere, they aren't supposed to react with violence.
They're not supposed to. Also, if you spit in anyone's face anywhere, it's kind of mean.
It's kind of mean.
So, like, it's a little of a weird look. But okay. Anyway, also, a lot of burning flags in this video. For conservatives.
Also,
he's clearly
filming it in a large town. Just pointing that out.
Well, I'm just gonna point out. I don't think Jason LD lives in a small town. But let's see where this goes. Lots of fire.
My granddad gave me. They say one day they're gonna round up.
Oh, we got that Southern rock going now.
Shit might fly in the city. Good luck. Try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road.
Wow.
Around here we take care of our own. You cross that line.
I thought we had exited the early 2000s music videos, but I mean,
Creed?
We've got...
Am I watching Creed?
I really feel like I'm watching whatever, like if Creed and the Zac Brown Band had a like illegitimate child, it would be Jason Aldean and he would make songs like this. And it's just the classic, also, like lowly lit, ambiguous location. And I guess we're pulling clips from the internet of people being robbed and then throwing them into this overlay of your 50-year-old men band that dress like 20-year-olds.
Right.
So that's fun.
Nothing more fun than a leather Western blazer.
I mean, there's nothing more cowboy, Seth, than pants and leather blazers.
I love the lyric, we take care of our own, because I've never seen more backbiting and infighting than small town politics.
There is truly no more gossipy sons of a guns.
And he's not wrong. Like, I get it. We get our own if you're from Andrews. It doesn't matter.
There's a weird thing where I'm sure people from Andrews are like, I wish Gunnar and Seth would shut up on their podcast.
I'm sure, yeah.
But if we had a flat tire in Andrews, Texas, Shane Dalzner would turn off the cop car and also help us fix it. So, yes, there's a bit of a family feel to a small town, but it's also because you have no choice.
You have no choice.
It's not that you like each other. It's just that, well, it's I can either never wouldn't... have help or be yeah. just cordial enough to get some sugar from my neighbor.
Yeah.
Also, I've never encountered any other type of people who sleep with each other than people from small towns.
True.
It doesn't matter if you're married or at the Baptist church. Listen, everyone's cheating on each other. Everyone's sleeping with each other. It's such a weird, incestuous environment. You can't burn a flag, but you can sleep with your cousin, so. Yeah. It won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't. More fire. Try that in a small town full of good old boys. Okay. Raised up right. That guy's slow. I feel like the lyrics should be if you're looking for a fire, because there's this is the most cringe video I've ever seen in my life. Also, isn't the whole message here like small town people are nice, and it's like the Barbie movie. Yeah, it's kind of conflicting. Juxtaposed. Small town people are nice and generous and fun, yeah. but
if you disagree, if you light a
fire, we'll freaking kill you in public. Well, we will martyr you.
Greater point here. This is clearly about like rioting and protesting and how that goes wrong, or at least a lot of it is. The reason that would never happen in a small town is nobody cares.
I mean, yeah, if we want to get point really of a protest, serious,
yeah, the whole point of a protest and a riot, yeah, yeah, is to draw attention, and you're not going to do that in
a protest about transgender healthcare on either side of that argument in Monahans, Texas, doesn't get people. Reported. No. If anything, it gets reported because Larry at the barbershop pulled a gun on the people protesting and shot them all, and now we have a mass murder.
And now Larry, now we've got some...
now we have a white nationalist that's going to jail. So, you know, what is this encouraging, really? Also, does he just feel guilty for that time that... Around here we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. Oh, that's right. Like if Avenged Sevenfold became a country band.
P.O.D.
P.O.D. Jeez. Turns out the band Saliva has gone country on us.
I mean, honestly, Jason, try walking down the street in a small town wearing exactly what you're wearing.
I mean, seriously, I challenge Jason Aldean, if you're listening, if you hear this, drive to Andrews, Texas on your giant private tour bus or even your private jet that you probably have that people from small towns can definitely relate to and walk down the street, the main street, wearing the tight pants and the spray painted cowboy hat and the leather jacket and just set a timer. And I guarantee you within 10 seconds, two people will call you gay or the F word. So try that in a small town. Again, I get it. Hey. I get it. There's people from small towns who will identify with this song. I don't love the way it depicts it because in reality, the song itself makes people from a small town sound easy to manipulate, gullible, and kind of stupid because it would take a very dumb Greta Gerwig level dumb person to not see that this is pandering and it's nothing but pandering.
That's nothing but pandering.
They called the Hollywood writers and said, hey, you know that pandering thing you do in movies? Can you write a country song like that? And then this came out. Yeah. So that was just, I don't really see why people are up in arms about the video itself as far as what it's depicting.
It's fun. It seemed pretty, I don't know. So it's blurry on my end, so I can't say specifically, but like, it just seemed like it was showing rioting and robbery. Like
which, you know, again, I'm sure that there are plenty of MAGA hat wearing people that jerk off to this video, and to each his own. All right, I gotta go to the bathroom and hop on a meeting. I love you. Thank you guys for listening. I love you, Seth. I don't really love our listeners. I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, we can't do it without our fans. But we do appreciate y'all. I would love y'all more if y'all would go buy merch, TexasPod.com, and we will talk to y'all soon.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all. All right. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I love you.
I love you more. I'll see you Monday.